Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. This is Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of Sefer Hoshea. We're closing in on the end now. Hoshea is only 14 prakim long. If you've been with us up till now, you'll notice that it's been really depressing the last few prakim. Hoshea has been talking to the northern kingdom, to Israel, and saying, it's coming, you're not listening, please change, you're not changing, here's the punishment, and this is what it's going to look like. And really we got to some very low points in the last few prakim, moving up to Perek Yud. Perek Yud Aleph is now where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about Teshuvah. The word Loshuv, the root Loshuv, seems to appear numerous times in this perek. It's a short perek of only 11 psukim, and it's a very powerful perek. Let's do a quick look at it. In some traditions, the end of this perek is the beginning of the Haftorah of Parshas Vayishlach. In Ashkenazi tradition, it's actually Sefer Ovadia, which we're coming to soon. But nonetheless, it has the general motif of Geula, the general motif of Teshuvah, of coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of leaving Golus like Yaakov Avinu left the Golus of the house of Laban, moving back towards the land of Israel. So here we go. The general summary of the Perek is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it starts off by saying, Kinar Yisrael vo'oha vehu. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. Mitzrayim karas sicho livni, I called him my son in Egypt. And despite how much I sent my Nevi'im to maintain that relationship, they still sacrificed to other idols. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes in such beautiful terms how he carried Ephraim, how he carried Israel like a nurse and saved them, but they didn't notice. Sometimes children just don't notice when they've been protected. They think it's all for granted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how he, Ubachavle Odom Em Shachem Ba'avosos Avo, I try to bring them back with these ropes of love, to bring them back to me. Ve'yolahem Kemiri May all al Lechehem. I wanted to take the yoke, make it lighter off their shoulders, and they didn't notice me still. And instead, they shouldn't have returned to Egypt. They shouldn't have sought alliances with Assyria, but they did, because they had me, but they didn't notice. And because of that, the sword had to come and consume their cities and destroy them. At this point in time, he makes the most tragic statement. V'ami t'loim l'meshuvasi. My nation waits for my return. They're waiting for me, but Hashem's really waiting for them. Hashem feels terrible for them, and he says, how could he watch their demise, even though they really do deserve their destruction? Hashem is not human, and therefore Hashem says, even though they didn't make the move towards me, I will take the choice to extend my patience, says Hashem. I will look after them. And the famous last two psukim, Hashem says, Acharei Hashem yelechu. They will come after me, ka'arye yishag, as a lion roars, ki hu yishag ve'yecherdu banim miyam. And the children everywhere will be fearful. Yecherdu ki tzipor b'mitzrayim, uchyonah me'eretz Ashur, v'yashiv v'hoshavtim al botehem u'm Hashem. And they'll return. They'll sort of be scared out of their golus, be it in Egypt, be it in Assyria, and they'll return to their houses. That's this perek. A few points to focus on. We're going to just focus on four brief psukim. The first pasuk of the perek, pasuk aleph, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he saved us from Egypt. He loved us then. This is an image which we've seen earlier in Hoshea. It's an image which is seen in Yechezkel, perek tes Zion. What does that mean? How does that impact the nature of this perek? So the Radak says, because Hashem gave us so much more extra treatment, Hashem went over so much more, he bent over backwards for us. That means to say we had a greater responsibility. That means to say when we do wrong, when we reject him, when we forget him, we ignore him, it's much more serious than those other nations Hashem didn't give as much attention. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing how much he loved us, but that love demands, has the responsibility of relationship. That's what's being said. That's the tone that's being set for this perek. Let's move a little further into the next pasuk Dalad. This beautiful, beautiful description of Bachavle Odom Im Shochem Ba'avosos Avo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring us back with ropes of love. What exactly are the ropes of love? So the Malbim says it refers to Hashgacha Pratis, like the end of the pasuk where Hashem wants to alleviate the all. He wants to alleviate the yoke. What Hashem does is, I made it easy for you. I brought you to the land of Egypt and I made it easier for you to survive in the land. I made the rain come at the right time. I made the crops ripe at the right time. I allowed you to exist. I made it easier. The land welcomed you. But yet you didn't notice that. You didn't notice I was carrying you. That's the problem. That's what the ropes of love were. The Gemara in Shabbos Pei Tes on Beis is a fascinating statement quoting this pasuk. Really, really fascinating statement. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu should have gone down to Egypt in chains, but instead he went down through avosos of Ava. He went through chains of love. What does that mean? We go back into what this Gemara really means, a really powerful, powerful image. Avram Avinu had the bris ben Abesorim. He saw the vision of between the paths, where he was told that his children would be taken exile to an Eretz lo lohem, in a land which was not theirs. That prophecy had to come into being by hook or by crook. That means to say, somehow that generation following Yaakov Avinu somehow had to get into Golus. How would they get into Golus? Well, there are numerous options that could have existed. If nothing else happened, if nothing went unplanned, then really he would have been taken in exile, in chains, as slaves. That's what could have happened, and perhaps would have been a fulfillment of one permutation of that prophecy. But instead, what happened? He went down through the chains of love. What the chains of love? His son was taken as a slave. His son became the viceroy, and through the love of his son, through that relationship, ultimately Yaakov Avinu entered the land of Egypt. Meaning to say, there were different options as to how his prophecy could have been fulfilled. Physical chains of iron or chains of love, and ultimately it was chains of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring you out. I wanted to give you opportunity that the places you need to go, the goluses you need to go to, are going to be still through love, not through pain. In fact, the Vilna Gaon comments in this fourth pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph, it says, Moshcheni acharecha nerutz Hashem, draw me near, let me run after you, describing the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Vilna Gaon points out that halachically speaking, when you talk about what's called Meshicha, Meshicha is a halachic term which means drawing. It's actually a kinyan. It is a form of acquisition. That, let's say I'm selling a cow to somebody else. They take possession of the cow when they do Meshicha. So let's say they give me the money. It is not acquired until the point that they actually pull it. How do you do a Meshicha? The Gemara describes this two ways. One is you can call the animal and it will come with you, or you could hit it or pull it hard and the animal will come. Either way is considered a kinyan Meshicha. You've acquired it by moving it, whether it be through calling it or through hitting it. So what we say in Shir HaShirim is, Hashem, Moshcheni, acquire us again, draw us near. How? Acharecha Norutza, let us run to you, let us not have to be hit to come to you. Let us come to your calling, let it be voluntary. That's the Avo Sos Avo, that's the calling of the love over here. Let us be able to have a relationship, let it not be in chains. That's what we're asking for, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising. Let's go to focus on the third pasuk over here in this episode, in this specific perek. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that they wait for me, Va'ami Teluim L'meshuvasi. My nation waits for my teshuva. The way the Malbim describes it most poetically is Hashem has, so to speak, receded from Shomron. He's receded from the nation of Israel, who treated him so neglectfully. But he hasn't gone back to the Shemaim yet. He's hovering between heaven and earth, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for him to show some sort of sign that they want to do teshuva, something that he will return, and yet they still don't show it. In Eicha Rabbah, there's a beautiful Medrash describes, there's a court case between two psukim of whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take the first step of tshuva. Shuvi Yisrael Hashem Lakecha, or Hashivenu Alecha v'Nashuva. Is it Israel is taking the first step? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking the first step? That's the debate which seems to be found in the deliberations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making in this section. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu resolves that even though we don't deserve it and we didn't take that first step towards tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't bear watching us suffer so much and will return us. How? Well, the last episode, the last description in this perek is the roar of the lion. What does it mean, the roar of the lion? So Rashi says very simply, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make himself revealed in a way that everybody, like the lion, will roar and all the beasts will come to rally to the king of the savannah. That's what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to roar and everything will be penetrated, everything will be pulled apart and come towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end in the times of Mashiach. The Malbim says it might be a little more subtle. In fact, the Aryeh in terminology, the lion in the terminology of Tanakh at this point, is referring to one specific nation, and that is the nation of Bavel, of Babylon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you have ultimately, the nation of Israel has gone into an exile of Assyria, the Assyrian north, Sancheirib, and they've been dispersed among all the nations around them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Aryeh Yeshag, there's going to be a lion which roars, there's going to come a nation which is going to destroy Assyria very fast. It's going to destroy Egypt very fast. They're going to take all their exilees, including the Jews, and redisperse them, and ultimately that'll be the way for them to get back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, is my Hashkocha is going to be acting through an Aryeh, it'll look like a terrifying lion, but it's me in disguise. That's the Aryeh which is going to be talked about. We should bear this in mind as we get to Amos, which we're going to get to soon. Amos is a contemporary of Hoshea, and this terminology, this imagery of the Aryeh Yishag mi lo yira is going to be very significant as we get there. In the meantime, this concludes Perek Yud Aleph. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.